I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Hello, I'm Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. If you want to be super awesome and stoked, you better go elsewhere. This one's for the Brits. Isolation is a dream killer. We all know that the cure is connection. If you're new to Amazon, working to get a product live, but you've not yet got one launched, I've created a brand new solution especially for you. It's the Zero to Hero London Mastermind. It's designed to do one thing, get you launched on Amazon. So if you're stuck in research, supply negotiation with Chinese or importing, if you're lost in listing creation or launch strategy, we can sort you out. How does it work? Simple. We have a physical meeting once a month in North London, maximum 15 people in the room, 30 minutes each to solve your biggest business problem. We're action, not talk, guys. Video accountability call once a month, a newsletter once a month, and an exclusive Facebook group. It's simple, it's powerful, and it's hands-on. It works. For more details or to apply, go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. AmazingFBA, and that's F for Freddie, B as in Bravo, A as in Amazon.com/London Mastermind. There's a special deal on now, but only for the first 5 members to join. So to find out more, go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. Thanks for listening.
I want to talk about risk, reward, and failure and innovation, which is some thoughts from Jeff Bezos. I've shared some thoughts from Jeff Bezos recently. This is a slightly different take on it, really. The first thing is that it's only an experiment if it can fail. So if you are being just a close follower and you're just starting out, then I'd suggest this is not an approach for you necessarily, this aggressive approach. But if you are just following exactly what works in the marketplace, that reduces risk, which is good. But what it does also is it makes you very similar to what's in the marketplace as well, which reduces the differentiation of your product, which means that things can end up getting shopped on price. Now, if you've got a very keen price on the supply side, that can be okay. Quite often, though, you're going to end up, because you don't have a huge capital base, you can't get incredible economies of scale. That model may not work for you, in which case you're going to be different. And I think this year, I would encourage you to be courageous and get into creating your own version of a product, run just private labeling as early as you dare. Got people in the 10K Collective, for example, who've been selling for about a year and a half, maybe, and they're already quite aggressively creating their product lines. And then I've got friends in masterminds I've been in who've been doing private label 3, 4, 5 years now and are definitely making the most success and the most money with their own exact designs, their own unique designs, you should say. Now, that can be a complex subject. I'm not going to get into the whys and wherefores today, although I certainly will be exploring that, doing that myself this year. That's one of my ambitions this year in 2018. So I will come back to you with that. But this is the basic sort of business theory behind it. Basically, Jeff Bezos says that if you have a 10% chance of 100x return, you should take that investment, but you'll still fail 9 out of 10 times. So what is that all about? Well, what it means is that if you have a very, very big reward that you may get, then the chances of success are somewhat moderately probable. You should probably take that bet, but you've got to realize that you're going to fail quite a lot by doing this. So I wouldn't suggest this is your first product. I wouldn't suggest it for somebody with a small amount of money to put into Amazon. This is a more aggressive thing, but the more ambitious listeners and watchers and followers of Amazing FBA, I do think this is an important sort of mindset and business theory to follow. Jeff Bezos talks about asymmetric returns as well. He said in baseball, if you swing for the fences, you can get more singles, but you're capped at 4. So the strategy in baseball is probably going to be more, not a baseball person, by the way, but in cricket, it would be you can get a 6 if you hit it to the boundary. But, you know, the rest of the time, you just get 1 run, 2 runs. And the sort of defensive play makes a lot of sense in that scenario. And what he's saying is in business, every so often you get 1,000 runs. So in a scenario like that, it's the right business decision to experiment more and be more aggressive as long as you are, you know, willing to accept some failures. And I think that is something that people are very, very risk averse about when they first come into Amazon. I'm not suggesting you should be foolish or over-optimistic. This is more for people who've got some deeper pockets and a bit more confidence. But once you're there, I think, you know, if you've got a successful private label product or two behind you, it's time to innovate. Jeff Bezos said, plus customers like successful experiments as well. Obviously, there are unsuccessful experiments that they vote by saying no thanks. By the way, invention is not disruptive, as he says as well. Just because you come up with something radical doesn't really matter. If the customer doesn't adopt it, it will die a death. So that's not radical. What is disruptive to the market is that the customer adopts an innovation. For example, if every single torch sold on Amazon or a flashlight, if you're American, that you sell is battery powered and you come up with a rechargeable one, and you're the first in the market for that, it might be that in 2 years' time, everyone's selling rechargeable ones. And actually, that means that you have disrupted that market. You have changed it. Why? Not because you came up with the idea, although that's got to happen first. Not even because you made it or had it made for you. Not even because you sold it, because the customers bought it en masse and that changed how that market works. Now, if you're the first person to do that in the market, that's great because you get to reap the benefits. If you follow an innovator, that can be good if you are the second person in the market and you're going hard. But if you, and that's probably the safest place to go, by the way. They say pioneers come back with arrows in their back. But on the other hand, if you just follow the trend, miles behind you, it's going to be the same as everyone else. So there's got to be, so you've got to be somewhere closer to the edge of the trend, maybe the second person into the market, but you're still going to have a differentiation point. Apart from anything else, intellectual property claims are a reality. I've had one of those recently. It's not pretty when somebody says that you just copy their exact product. And you cannot rely, by the way, on your Chinese suppliers to do due diligence on that for you. They don't really understand intellectual property law. It's a very recent thing in a lot of China, very, very, very recent, like 2015, and only in certain provinces. So that's a little caveat around that. If somebody says your business plan is disruptive, my main question is, as Jeff Bezos says, why are customers going to adopt this? Why is it better than the traditional way? Why do I want rechargeable batteries rather than batteries that I have to put in? And the answer is, of course, it's convenience and cost as well. That one has a fairly obvious answer. If you can't obviously answer the question, why are customers going to adopt this? Why is it better than the existing way? Then your innovation isn't looking in good shape. And the last thing that Jeff Bezos said in this regard, I think, which is very, very useful, is proceed adaptively, have a success, and double down. So, for example, in my case, I didn't sell a flashlight or a torch. I sold a music stand light, which, you know, has kind of come to the end of its life now in terms of being differentiated. So, I mean, I'm going to talk about it forever in great freedom because it's no longer really a product I care about. And I've got a few units I'm selling through, and then I'm moving on. So these things have a sort of life cycle to them. I started off selling battery-powered ones. That was a bit too general. Then I sold rechargeable ones following the trend I'd seen. And because I was one of the first few to go in there at a reasonable price point, I did pretty well out of that. So I adapted my original thought of stand lights, which had good revenue, good sales, but poor profitability because they weren't differentiated. I adapted that to the rechargeable stuff, and that went well. So I did double down on that. And that did me very well for a time. And then I got to the crossroads. I'd either have to develop my own unique design, which is a possibility I might pursue this year, but it more likely, I think I'll move into other pastures where it's a little bit easier to find my way. So a few thoughts around innovation, a little bit messy, but I think the whole process of innovation is partly messy. But I just wanted to talk about this from a sort of 50,000 foot view, as the Americans would say. In other words, the business strategy, or the business logic, if you like, of the situation with high-risk products often does tell you that you should take a high-risk investment if the risk of losing the money is, you know, 9 out of 10, but the potential upside is 100x or a 10,000% increase. Sometimes the logical thing to do is take that leap, but you need to make sure you're prepared for the failure and you can cope with that. You minimize the downside, you have plenty of resources, and that includes money and also confidence. And that's resourcefulness, if you like, is something that I think comes with confidence and with experience of business. So this isn't for the beginners. Don't go putting all your money on one product, or, you know, $10,000 of life savings or £12,000 or whatever it is for you on one product without knowing what you're doing. That's not what I'm suggesting here, but I'm suggesting that sooner or later, innovation is part and parcel of what you're going to really need to grow a really successful business. Hope that was thought-provoking. On to more mundane things next time. But until that time, thanks for listening. Happy selling.
That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing.
20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs, which are the critical few for you. Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.